Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. And today we're going to continue talking about our featured work of literature, Unwind. And remember, our full title is Unwind, An Absurd Look at Aborting Teenagers. So that's kind of the main theme here about abortion. And we are talking about aborting teenagers, which is kind of interesting. It's like they say that these teenagers were aborted when they were fetuses.
They should have been.
So I guess that means they never really existed in the first place. And, well, authoritarian governments often do silly things like that, don't they?
Craziness. So we're going to take a look at some of the themes, some of the ideas in the book, as we usually do on day three of literature units. What did the author, Neil Schusterman, really want to communicate to the readers? We're going to get started, as we always do, by reading through our article.
In the novel, a teen who is to be unwound is called an unwind.Retroactively aborting teens after they are born suggests that parents or the state can turn back the clock to get rid of unwanted members of society. To justify their actions, they claim that the child's life doesn't technically end as their organs continue to function in other people's bodies. The society in Unwind is meant to be a mirror of our own society. Although our society's flaws are exaggerated in the book,The author wants us to consider how absurd we have become in the modern age. We tend to be fixated on trivial matters and allow outrageous things to happen. In the novel, the absurdity of aborting teenagers is evident, but most people follow the practice without questioning it. Moreover, members of the society are resolute in maintaining the status quo, even when the status quo is irrational.Schusterman intends this dystopian society to be a warning to us, cautioning us about how adept humans are at justifying abhorrent deeds. Another way in which the novel reflects society is in the way a particular group of people are singled out and treated differently. In Unwind, it is the teenagers who are put through a horrible situation and essentially sentenced to death simply because of their age. Unfortunately,In our society, different groups are discriminated against due to other characteristics, including ethnicity, gender, faith, and more. The teenage character's struggle in the book reminds us that there are people who are deprived of their rights in our world as well. Like Connor and the others, they must fight against systems that do not always treat them equally.
Okay, guys, we're going to be talking aboutsome of those ideas, issues, themes, messages that are in this book, Unwind. It's interesting. I was just looking at some reviews about this book. It gets a lot of women involved because they have the feeling that it's an anti-abortion book because of the way he talks about killing or unwinding these teenagers.So let's get started here. In the novel, a teen who is unwound is called, they even give him a name, an unwind. So if you have been unwound, you're officially called unwind. Retroactively aborting teens after they're born suggests that parents or the state can turn back the clock to get rid of an unwanted member of society.Now, you know that abortions are performed before someone is born. So if you do this, we're saying it retroactively is aborting teens. We're saying that, you know, we had the chance to abort them when they were young. We didn't do it, but we're doing it now so we can still do it okay because it's okay to do it before you're born, if that makes any sense. So retroactive laws are laws that are passed that actually affect the past.For example, maybe you get a raise and it's a retroactive raise. Maybe it's June right now, but your raise actually, you're going to get a raise starting back in January. So you're going to get all that extra money from the months that you were paid your old salary. So if you turn back the clock, guys, that phrase means you go back in time, you act or you do things that you would have done earlier, but not in today's modern time. But wow, you wish you could turn back the clock. A lot of people wish they can turn back the clock because of some choices they made, you know, and they wish they could go back and change things.
Do it all over again. If I had it to do all over again, I would have blah, blah, blah. So yes, in this particular society, they can turn back the clock in order to get rid of unwanted members of society. To get rid of means you just take that thing away and pretend it doesn't exist anymore. Get rid of it. What's all this junk doing here in the living room?
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of it. Take it away someplace where I can't see it. And so these might be members of society who are unwanted. So I guess they give them these abortions and say, well, they never existed in the first place. And to justify their actions, they claim that the child's life doesn't technically end as their organs continue to function in other people's bodies. So they want to justify their actions. When you justify something, of course, you have to explain yourself because somebody is pointing out how illogical your idea is or something like that. They think it's bad and they give evidence for that. So you need to justify your position. You need to present evidence or offer an explanation so that it makes sense.
Yeah, so to justify what they're doing, they claim that the child's life doesn't technically end because their organs continue to function in other people's bodies. Technically just means according to the facts. So that's literally or technically what happens. Because their organs are continuing to live in someone else's body, they're not really dead. I would disagree with that, as most people would. Their soul is gone. Mm. The society in Unwind is meant to be a mirror of our own society. If something's meant to be something, that was the intention of the author, right? He wanted people to look at Unwind and compare it or look at how it was similar to their own society today.
Right, that's its intention, to be a mirror of our own society. We can see ourselves when we read this book and maybe learn a couple of things. Although our society's flaws are exaggerated in the book, the author wants us to consider how absurd we have become in the modern age. So we've got flaws, of course. A flaw, of course, is an imperfection, something that's not perfect in a person or in a system. So, of course, we've all got our flaws, and society has flaws. You know, are tax rates evenly distributed? Mm-hmm. Are the poor being taken care of? Mm-hmm. Do people obey the laws? Of course not. So we've all got these flaws. Accidents happen. People get killed. Things like that. But in the book, they are exaggerated. And if you exaggerate something, well, you make it seem bigger than it actually is. It's greater, bigger, better, or worse than it is. You exaggerate. Oftentimes when people tell stories about things, they like to exaggerate so people will think, wow, that's really cool. You really did that? That's amazing. Of course, it's probably an exaggeration. It's not really so severe.
Yeah, he exaggerates. Well, although our society does have, you know, errors, flaws, mistakes, things aren't good that are exaggerated in the book, the author wants us to consider how absurd we have become in the modern age. We're living in the modern age. We tend to be fixated on really unimportant things. That's the word trivial. Trivial means really small, really unimportant, things that don't matter. And we allow outrageous things to happen. Outrageous means shockingly bad. You can't believe it. Oh my gosh, can you believe the outrageous things that he said? Excessive would also be a good word for outrageous. If you're fixated on something, guys, it's almost like you're focused so intently on something, you can't see anything else. You become obsessed with it. Some people become obsessed because they like a guy or a girl. They become fixated on that person. They can't look away. So in our modern age, he's saying that we tend to become really obsessed with really unimportant things, and we let the big things, the outrageous things, pass us by. We don't notice them.
Exactly. Trivial. Of course, this is all subjective. What is trivial and what is not? But trivial usually means it's not something all that important, but people spend a lot of time talking about it and stuff like that.
Right.
We let outrageous things like, children getting killed or starving and stuff like that, those are pretty outrageous things. And in the novel, the absurdity of aborting teenagers is evident.
Mm-hmm.
Absurdity here is the noun form of absurd. That's the adjective. Absurdity is the noun. So when something is absurd or ridiculous or unbelievable or something you just can't accept because it's so silly, then that is absurdity. And aborting teenagers sounds very absurd. So that's evident. If something's evident, that means it's noticeable, it's clear, it's obvious.
Yeah, it's really clear to see. But most people follow the practice without even questioning it. Tom brought up the fact, I think it was in another program that we recorded about how Germany was able to kill six million Jews. And when it first started happening, you would think, what? But the German people, not all of them, but a lot of them bought into this idea. Oh, yeah, we got to get rid of the Jews. They're not good people. They're corrupting our own country. No one would have thought that could possibly happen because it's outrageous. So even today, things are happening around us that we're not paying attention to because maybe we're focused on the most popular TV show on TV right now.
Yeah, exactly. If you check out newspapers, of course, the big photos are some celebrity stepping out of a restaurant with somebody they don't usually step out with.
Uh-oh.
So it's a big story there.
Yeah.
That is trivial nonsense, and they don't really cover the more important stuff. And moreover, members of the society are resolute in maintaining the status quo, even when the status quo is irrational. Now, here we've got the word resolute with the accent on the first syllable, resolute. That means you are determined. You're not going to give up. You're unwavering. Nobody can convince you to do otherwise.
That's right. You're not going to be swayed or your mind's not going to be changed. You're going to stay firm. So members of the society are resolute in maintaining the status quo. Status quo means the situation as it is right now. They don't want to change it. Status quo is Latin. We don't use that language anymore, but we borrowed that term from Latin, status quo. We want to maintain our status quo. We don't want to change what's going on, even when the status quo is irrational. It's illogical. It doesn't make sense. Why are we doing it? Well, we're going to find out more, guys, but this is probably a good time to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about why Schusterman has such a weird dystopian society in his book.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是 Alice。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 15， 文学单元的第三天课程。在今天的文章中，我们将会知道作者在这部小说中所要传达的讯息。首先，文章的第一和第二段提到社会总是在找理由来合理化一些荒谬的制度。我们看到第一段最后一句的前半部分 To justify their actions, they claim that the child's life doesn't technically end. 为了使自己的行为正当化，他们声称技术上孩子的生命并没有结束。动词 justify 的意思是证明什么什么是正当的，或是作为什么什么的正当理由，还有为什么什么辩护的意思。后面可以接名词或是 ving， 例如 There is nothing you can do to justify your rude behavior， 没有任何事可以让你证明你的无理行为是正当的。如果我们说 somebody be justified in doing something， 就是指某人有正当理由做某事。例如 Kevin has never lied to me， so I'm justified in believing what he has told me is true。 凯文从未对我撒谎，所以我有理由相信他说的事是真的。接着我们看到第二段的第二句， Although our society's flawsare exaggerated in the book, the author wants us to consider how absurd we have become in the modern age. 虽然在书中真实社会的缺点被夸大了，但作者希望我们好好想想，在现代我们变得多么荒谬可笑。WH 疑问词像是 what where, why, when, how 等等，后面可以接一个子句，形成名词子句，当作句子的主词、受词、主词补语等等。例如 I don't know when the party will end， 我不知道这场派对何时结束。这里的 when the party will end 就是名词子句，当作动词 know 的受词。这个时候 when 所引导的子句不是疑问句，所以我们不可以说 when will the party end， 而是要说 when the party will end。 另外要注意的是， how 所引导的名词子句如果是表示多么的话， how 后面会先接形容词或是副词，再接主词和动词。例如，如果要表示我们知道遵守交通规则是多么重要，我们就可以说 We know how important it is to follow traffic rules， 把形容词 important 移到 how 的后面，而不是说 We know how it is important to follow traffic rules。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. We're talking about the messages and themes in the book Unwind by Neil Schusterman. We talked about how this unwind means to actually abort teens after they're born. Usually abortion refers to babies before they're born being taken from the mom and killed. But now we're talking about actually taking organs from teenagers, which is in essence killing them.Now, the society in Unwind is supposed to be a mirror of our society. When we went to the break, we were talking about how some things that seem really trivial, people focus on too much. They obsess over them and find outrageous things around them to be unimportant, which is kind of crazy. So they just kind of want to maintain their status quo. Nobody wants to change the current condition or state.So Schusterman intends, or that's his purpose, that this dystopian society to be a warning to us. Dystopian, we talked about this in an earlier program. It means a world where really bad things happen. It's horrible. It's the opposite of what a great life or a great world would be, which is utopia. So he has set this book and this dystopian society to warn us, to get us to think about whatis happening in this modern time, cautioning us to just see how adept humans are at justifying abhorrent deeds. That is so true. We can explain away or justify anything these days. If you caution someone, you take the time to tell them about dangers that might be in front of them and help them or try to help them avoid those dangerous places or mistakes they might make.
And to warn them, to tell them to be careful, to caution them. And yes, indeed, we shouldn't be justifying those abhorrent deeds. Abhorrent just means unbelievable, so terrible, so awful, etc. Now, another way in which the novel reflects society is in the way a particular group of people are singled out and treated differently. So that's another aspect of this book. We tend to single out certain kinds of people and then treat them differently.
Yeah, and if you treat people differently, just means you are prejudiced. You don't see people as equal. So in The Unwind, it is the teenagers who are put through a horrible situation and essentially sentenced to death simply because of their age. So they're put through a bad situation. They have to endure this situation. And essentially, or what it really means, if we're just talk about what they're doing, they're sentenced to death just because of their age. In these days, you're sentenced to death for major crimes like killing someone. But the only thing they did wrong in this particular society is turn an age that is considered to be a teen. So anything from 13 to 19, you're Juan Donla here.
Doesn't sound good here, so these teenagers are put through a horrible situation. We don't want that to happen to teenagers. And basically, or essentially, They are sentenced to death simply because of their age. This happens a lot of time when a criminal commits a crime, maybe murders someone, and then they face a judge or a jury, and they're found guilty. And then after that, they are given a punishment. And if they're given the death penalty, we say that they are sentenced to death. They might be hanged. They might be poisoned. They might be sent to the guillotine. They might stand in front of a firing squad. There are different ways to execute people if you are sentenced to death.
That's right. So unfortunately, in our society, that's in today's society, different groups are discriminated against due to other characteristics, including ethnicity, gender, faith, and more. Yeah, this happens all over the world. Ethnicity, what race you belong to, you could be discriminated against or be prejudiced towards that particular group of people. Gender refers to your sex, either male or female, or some people say they're, you know, like in between. That's changing. Faith is what you believe religiously. Christians are being killed in the Middle East. Jews are being killed in Germany during the Second World War. So that's when you're discriminated against due to faith. And more than that, someone may not like people with curly hair and decide to treat them badly. There are lots of things that people, you know, have prejudice towards. It's kind of crazy.
And the teenager characters struggle in the book, those three main characters there. Their struggle in the book reminds us that there are people who are deprived of their rights in our world as well. So, of course, we've got those three main characters. What were they? Risa,
Connor, Lev.
And Connor, that's right. So they're well, we kind of see the story through their eyes, but
yeah,
they also reflect all the other teenagers in this book who are going through the same thing. There are people who are deprived of their rights. If you're deprived of something, that means you don't get what you deserve.
They're taken from you.
They're
right.
Taken from you. Exactly. You have a lack of those rights, so they're deprived of those rights. They're not given those rights. They're taken away. And yes, indeed, this does happen all the time as well.
Well, let's use a really simple example here. People who are in prison are deprived of their freedom, I think for good reason, because some of them are terrible people. Mm. Or we might say in prison they're deprived of all the latest movies. When they get to see things, it's usually on TV, you know, they get them later than most people. So like Connor and the others, they must fight against systems that do not treat them equally. So I think there are a lot of things you can get through this book, a lot of themes. You know, we didn't explain this end of the second paragraph what adept humans can do. If you're adept, guys, it just means you're really skilled at something. I would say maybe you're really good at sports. He's very adept at hitting fastballs, or he's very adept at hitting sliders or curves. They're different types of pitches. And if you talk about abhorrent deeds, because these guys are justifying, finding a reason why they should do these bad things. Abhorrent, look closely, has H-O-R-R in there. Horror, horrible. So it's really disgusting, loathing. Repugnant is a great word. That means abhorrent too. R-E-P-U-G-N-A-N-T. He's repugnant to me. That might come from the mouth of a girl who went on a date with a guy who was pretty disgusting. Oh, he's repugnant. So there are lots of really great words in this article today, I must say.
Certainly. And of course, we had the word status quo. And I did want to mention that because that does come up quite frequently.
True.
In Taiwan politics.
Oh,
I don't know. Do I dare say this?
Really?
Because it's very controversial. But of course, Taiwan's situation, of course, is very unique in the world.
True.
Because mainland China there claims Taiwan as part of its territory. And there are people in Taiwan who say, well, you know, we should be independent and stuff like that. So a lot of people are asked, well, you know, what about the future of Taiwan? Do you want to reunify with the mainland or unify with the mainland?
Uh-huh.
Or do you want Taiwan to be independent? Or do you want to simply maintain the status quo?
Mm.
So we did mention that term status quo, which is the situation right now. And that's the situation you all pretty much know about. And that's the status quo. That's the way things are. And And a lot of times people just get complacent with that. This is the status quo. This is the way things are. It's easier to understand. It's been this way for a long time. Why change things? If it isn't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. So it just is the current situation. In Latin, it means existing state, the current state of affairs. So it's kind of, you will see it a lot. We speak it, we write it. So it's a good phrase to learn as well.So this is it, guys. This is our literature unit on the book Unwind by the author Neil Schusterman. We hope you get a chance to take a look at it. Maybe check out some YouTube videos where he's speaking about some of his books. Mm-hmm. You'll want to tune in to see what he has to say about Unwind himself. I find that fascinating. Books have lots of different messages within them, and maybe what you take away from it is not what somebody else sees in it, because we're all different human beings with different perspectives. One person who's going to share their perspective with you is our Chinese teacher. We're going to listen now.
接着我们看到第二段最后一句的后半部分 cautioning us about how adept human are at justifying abhorrent deeds.告诫我们人类多么善于把可恶的行为合理化。形容词 adept 是擅长的、熟练的的意思。片语 be adept at doing something 就是指擅长做某事。下面有几个字的字形和 adept 相似，但是意思却不一样，使用的时候要特别注意。像是 adapt A-D-A-P-T 是动词，有适应、改编的意思。 Adapt to something 就是适应某事物，例如我们可以说 The transfer student has difficulty adapting to the new school， 这名转学生难以适应新学校。另外还有 adopt A-D-O-P-T 动词，是采用或是收养的意思。例如 We won't adopt Tom's suggestion because it is impractical，我们不会采取汤姆的建议，因为他的建议不实际。文章的第四段提到，社会常常会歧视某些特定族群的人，并剥夺他们的权利。我们看到第四段的第一句 Another way in which the novel reflects society is in the way a particular group of people are singled out and treated differently. 这本小说反映社会的另一个层面是特定的一群人被挑出并被差别对待的方式。名词 way 有方法、方式的意思，后面如果要接一个完整句子来表示做什么什么的方法或方式，有以下几种写法。第一种是在 way 后面接 in which 再接一个完整句子。第二种是可以在 way 后面接 that 再接一个完整句子。第三种是可以在 way 后面直接接一个完整句子。此外 the way 点点点就相当于 how 再加一个完整句子。例如 I was impressed by the way in which the government dealt with the financial crisis. 我对于政府处理财务危机的方式印象深刻。这句就相当于 I was impressed by how the government dealt with the financial crisis. 最后我们看到最后一段第三句有一个动词discriminate 有歧视的意思，它的名词是 discrimination D-I-S-C-R-I-M-I-N-A-T-I-O-N discriminate 是不及物动词，所以如果要表示歧视某人，我们要先接个介系词 against 再接人。例如 We should never discriminate against someone because they are different from us，我们绝不可以因为别人和我们不同就歧视对方。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢收听。
Thanks for joining us. That's it for us today, guys. We hope you'll join us again soon. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.